Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, I figured we would learn a little bit of halachos so that people would be familiar with some of the halachos of the Dalet Minim. And I want to start out with an introduction, that this is like a handbook for my Talmidim when they go out and buy Dalet Minim and future years. Noah was here, he said that this helped him because there are people who really don't know a lot of the halachos. And this could be something that's very, very helpful for them. I'm not an expert. There are people out there who are mamish experts. I'm a Talmud. I learned the sugyas and so on and so forth, but I didn't invest my life into learning the halachos of Dalet Minim. But still, some basics so that people could be aware, I think this might be very helpful. So as we always do, we start from the pasuk. What does it say in the Torah? And what does it have to do with our mitzvah? So the Torah Kedosha says, ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon. By the way, there are more Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah over here. Ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon pri eitz hadar. The Torah tells us that you should take the Dalet Minim. The Torah spells out the Dalet Minim. And interestingly also, the pri eitz is referred to as hadar. This is in Parshas Emor, as hadar. That's going to be a critical word in terms of the mitzvah being dafka a esrog mehudar. Okay. Usmachtem lefnei, there are more seats over here. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yomim. And you shall rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. So first of all, we're zocha to be learning these halachos here in Artzeinu HaKadosha. So what is the meaning, lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, in front of Hashem, your God? What does it mean, lefnei Hashem Elokeichem? So according to Chazal, it means that the mitzvah d'oraisa is to fulfill the mitzvah, the Dalet Minim, specifically all 7 days in the Migdash. Now the Rambam says, in this way, the Talmidim here who are zocha to learn in the Old City, if you're in the Old City, according to the Rambam, the way some understand the Rambam, the way the Aruch HaNer understands the Rambam, is that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah d'oraisa would be fulfilled even today in Yerushalayim. Some disagree, but you should know that according to many, you have a special zechus, that you're able to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the real Yerushalayim, real in the sense of the Torah's definition, which is the city of Yerushalayim during the time of the Mikdash. Okay, so that's from the Torah itself. You have the mitzvah to take on the first day. Now, on the first day, ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon, you shall take for yourself biyom harishon. So if you take a look later on, we have in Hilchos Lulav, we're going to have the halacha not towards the beginning, in Tafresh Mem Hei, we have the details of the lulav, which we're going to get to, but you, of course, are going to have the halachos of those lulav, the lulav having to belong to you. It has to belong to you. So, for example, we have the psul of gozul, that if it's stolen, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of lulav, as well as, even if it's borrowed on the first day, you're not going to be able to be yotzei the mitzvah. It has to be ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon. That halacha of lachem only applies to the first day. On all other days, so then in such a case, it's not going to be possible. So when we learn in Tafresh Mem Tes, Sif Aleph, kol arbo aminim psulim, bagozul ubeganuv. So when it comes to gzela, when it's possible als gzela, so there, on the first day, it's going to be possible as lachem. And all the other days, then there's going to be a problem of mitzvah haba ba'avera. And in halacha beis, then you have the difference between whether you need to own the lulav on the second day. V'chein shol b'yom rishon mishum deb'inan lachem. So shol is going to be posseled. A lulav that is borrowed is going to be posseled because it needs to belong to you. So therefore, if for whatever reason you didn't buy a lulav, that's not going to be a problem on all other days. If I'm not mistaken, most poskim say that even in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, I think Rav Nevin Zal told me this, that in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh as well, even according to the opinions that say that the din d'oraisa is that you could fulfill it all 7 days because usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim, nevertheless, you could use your friend's lulav, it doesn't have to belong to you. Okay, now some of the details in regard to what qualifies as a lulav. What is a lulav that is kosher? So the Mechaber writes in Tafresh Mem Hei Sif Aleph, lulav shenifredu alav zeh me'al zeh. If the lulav has its leaves entirely spread apart. V'lo nidaldul balechrius kosher afilu lo agado. So really, Mikra Dedina, it's going to be kosher if the lulav is entirely separated. However, mikol makom, as the Ramah, mitzvah men amufchar belulav she'en alav prudos legami. The mitzvah men amufchar is that the lulav should not be entirely spread out. There is a discussion in the poskim, the Prima Gadim is a little bit machmir in regards to what happens if the lulav is tightly packed. If the lulav is tightly packed, so then in such a case, the Prima Gadim says that's not ideal. You should be able to get some type of shake out of it, but that is only a din lechatchila. Now, there is a very important set of machlokios between the Mechaber and the Ramah in regards to the nature of the lulav and different psulim. For example, we're going to have in Halacha Gimel and Dalid psulim of Niktam and Nechluka Hatyomis. Now here we get to the nuances, the details of the lulav. You might want to, if you want to zero in the camera, you can. Some of the details in regards to the lulav is the following. Here, everybody see this lulav over here? By the way, my friend who I get the lulav from gave this to me. He said that this was a lulav puzzle. We'll see if we could figure out why it's a lulav puzzle. I'll send it around. Every leaf of the lulav is really two pieces. Every leaf of lulav is two pieces. Okay? The Mechaber, based on the Mishnah, talks about Nechlika Hatyomis. Nechlika Hatyomis means that the leaf was split. Nechlika Hatyomis, if the leaf is split, the halacha is that it's going to be possible. According to the Mechaber, that means the majority of the leaves are split. Okay, let's just bring out this point, just to dramatize it over here a little bit more. Right, every lulav piece, here we go, we opened up the lulav, right, the tiomes. Okay, so this is nechlika tiomes. So here, there's a machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Let's take a look and see it inside. There are a couple more shulchan aruchos anybody needs. Says the Mechaber, Siv Gimel, Brias olin shel lulav kach hi. The way in which a lulav grows is the following. Kishem gdelim shnayim shnayim. They grow together, as we saw, every lulav has its leaves grow together. Shnayim shnayim udvukim migabon, and they're attached. V'gav shel shnei olin hu anikra tiyomis. And the top of it, that's called the tiyomis. This is the tiyomis. Nechlika tiyomis, psula. If the tiyomis is split, then the halach is as possible. Now here, there's an important machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. What does it mean that the tiyomis is split? Does it mean that the top leaf is split? We're going to see in a moment, we'll zero in the top leaf. The top leaf is split. Or does it mean the majority of leaves are split? Now, if you're Sfardi, and you follow Mikra Dedina the Mechaber, you have life pretty easy. Because according to the Mechaber, it means Berov Ha'olin. The majority of the leaves. The majority of the leaves are split. However, says Ramah, v'yesh mefarshim lomar dim nechlak ha'ela ha'elyon, if the top leaf is split, ha'mtsoi shal ha'shedra, ad ha'shedra, mikra nechlikat yomes. According to Ashkenazim, you got to look dafka at the top middle leaf. So first, it's not easy. You got to decide which one is the top middle leaf. By the way, here it's a little bit difficult because it's attached. I'm separating it. By the way, don't do this on your own, because if you haven't bought it, and after you've bought it as well, this he gave me as a lulav puzzle. But if you take a look, there's usually, and here we're going to separate them. Here's the middle leaf. So says the Ramah, the middle leaf, if it's split all the way down to Shedra, is going to be puzzle. So that's something that Ashkenazim need to look for. You need to check the middle leaf, and to check if it's split up until the Shedra. Now, we could bring in the food for the guys with pleasure. Whoever wants to go wash could go wash in the. So the Shedra, one of the guys was asking the Shedra starts over here That's the spine that starts over here that goes all the way up. And that becomes the tiomis, which I was pulling apart. And here we go. We have the tiomis over here. And now I'm going to send across the lulav. And you tell me whether you think it should be kosher, according to the Mechaber, and according to the Ramah. The Ramah says, Nechluka hatiomis. So what did he tell us? Now let's read the whole Ramah together. V'yesh mefarshim. This is in Tof Reish Mem Hei Sif Gimel. Lomar dim nechlika ha'eloh ha'elyon ha'im tzoy shal ha'shedra ad ha'shedra. If it's split up until the spine, so then in such a case, mikri nechlika ha'tiomis and it's possible. Then it's called, the tiomis is divine and it's possible. V'hachi no'agin, mihu l'chatchila mitzvah min ha'muvchar no'agin lito lulav shalom nechlika ha'eloh ha'elyon klal. And this is why you're going to see a lot of people taking a look at the lulav, taking off their glasses, and sometimes even pulling out a microscope, which is an interesting question, whether that is necessary, and taking a look and examining the middle leaf. Okay. There's another machlokes here I'll pass around. You tell me what you think, and we'll get back to that. There's another machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, and something else that's really important when it comes to a lulav to check. And that is niktam. Niktam means that the top of the lulav is cut off. If it's the top of the lulav is cut off, so then in such a case, halacha is that it also has a problem of posel. Now, interestingly, again, when it comes to niktam, we have the same machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes, niktam rosha. Now here, let's use the leaf while the guys are checking out that lulav. Niktam Rosha would mean the following. Niktam Rosha means the top. Now, the top at the lulav could be very, very subtle. It's what they call in Yiddish a spitz. The spitz is the top part. So if the spitz is in any way bent or cut off, now notice, I'm about to cut off the top. And if you don't have a sensitive eye, you could miss it. Pass this around. This is niktam, and it would be possible. You see, I'm taking off mamish with my fingertips, with my nails. Now this is for sure would qualify as niktam. Now if you pass it around, it's very, very hard to notice. So here the Mechaber says, what's the psul of niktam? Niktam is rov ha'olin ha'olyonim, the majority of the leaves. That's going to be posel. Says the Ramah, v'im niktam ha'olo ha'olyonim ha'mtsai sha'ashedra posel. According to the Ramah, if you will, how would we say it in the yeshiva? We would say it's the Ramah l'shitaso. And there's a fundamental machlokas of how you define the lulav. Do you define the lulav by all of its leaves or by the middle leaf? So that's why here it's more expensive to be an Ashkenazi than it is a Sephardi. To find a lulav that the majority of the leaves aren't going to be niktam is hard to find. But to find a lulav that the middle leaf is niktam, so all you need is one mistake where somebody bangs the lulav by mistake against the wall and it's going to be niktam. Okay, so I see this lulav has been going around. So what do you tell me on this side? What do you say? Kosher, posel, what did you notice from the top leaf?
I said kosher.
You would say kosher. Okay. So let's pass back to lulav.
You know it's posel. We know it's posel.
Okay. Well, according to Mechaber, he's right. The guy gave it to me as a posel lulav. You didn't get it yet. You'll get it back. You'll get it back.
I mean, the top.
You get it back.
The top can't be split.
The top can't be split.
It's a little bit. I'm not sure like where the top is.
This is the very top. The
middle leaf.
I just have terrible vision. It's hard to see. I'm too scared to get glasses.
Was it on the cold bench? Is that considered a bench?
Things have changed since I started passing it around. Really,
it's bent. No.
Wait,
bent's also a problem. I thought if it's. As long as it's not divided.
No, that's a problem.
It's about
things. Beforehand, it had one psul. Now it seems to me it has a different psul.
What's the second
one? So hard to buy a lulav.
By the way, the lulav is, as one of the Talmidim are mentioning, the lulav is one of the harder things to check out. Okay. What it seemed to me before was that this lulav was open a little bit on the top, and it had another problem. And that problem is the problem called hemnik. Where's the psul hemnik? Yeah, it seemed to me that the top over here had two pieces that were beginning to separate, and also here, if you put it together, the two leaves almost looked like a pitchfork. It almost looked like a pitchfork, and that would be a problem. Now, eventually, the Talmidim separated entirely. They separate entirely.
Nice.
So that might be what happened. You won't see that as much now when they pass it around. So those are the most important things to look for in the lulav. So let's just summarize: nechlika atiomes and niktam, and that's a machlokas between the mechaber and the Ramah. Now there is a very famous discussion that you might come across when you go into a lulav to buy a lulav, and that is that people will discuss. It has a kneppel. Kneppel is a Yiddish word. So the Mechaber writes beferish that the halacha is, it depends. Kneppel means bend over. So the Mechaber says, if the shedra is entirely bent over, so then the Mechaber says that's possible. But if the top is a little bit bent over, then the halacha will be that it is kosher. However, the Mishnah Brura at the end of Simen Tov Reish Mem Hei says v'yesh men aposkim shemachbirim b'zeh. There are some people who are machmir. So to this day, there are two different approaches. The Rosh, which is not quoted by the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Taf Reish Mem Hei, the Rosh says I prefer a kneppel. The reason why he prefers a kneppel is when they're bent over, the leaves are bent over on the top. They're very, very strong. So that's why the Rosh writes that he's into a kneppel. And there are, interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it. Except he says the minig is to be makel, probably because the Rosh says, I like to take a kneppel. While to this day, many, particularly I think in the Lithuanian yeshivas, they don't. Chassidim do. Chassidish rebbes take with a kneppel. And in the Litvish yeshivas, they don't. And it goes back to this machlokas. So that is lulav. I think we went through the most important things. We'll send the lulav back to the guys. So maybe if you want, the key is, here, I'll just do one more hands-on. If you want, you could also zoom in the camera a little bit more. The key is to follow, and this sometimes is not easy, sometimes you need advice. I myself sometimes get stuck on this, is to follow the shedra, where the shedra is obvious. So here the spine is obvious, and to follow the spine all the way up, okay? So I'm following now the spine all the way up. Here it's a little bit slightly to the side. And now I have to take off my glasses. Here we go. This is an interesting one. This is it. He might be right. This might actually be mamish pasul, because here's the spine. Oh, actually, this could be good for the camera. Assuming this is the spine, so this is really, really split. Okay. So let's for a moment assume that these are single leaves. Now let's see. Let's see if they're double or they're single. Does this open? This might open to another leaf. Doesn't look like. You guys could check out if this is a double leaf, if this is a double leaf. But if this would be split all the way, if this is the middle leaf, split all the way to Shedra, what would be the halacha? Puzzle according to the Ramah. However, what about like this, Rabosai? It could be now it's already close to Shedra. What happens if it was closed up until here? What would you say? Kosher even according to Ramah, but not mitzvah min hamufcher. Because according to the Ramah, it's supposed to be closed entirely up until the top. And that is very, very difficult. That's very, very difficult to find. And this one, I don't know if the camera can't catch this, this one it was even worse, because not only was it not entirely attached, one was bent out, and this is what the Gemara calls a hemnik, where one of the leaves, like the way my fingers are here, these would be two leaves that are not entirely attached, slightly apart. But what happens if you have them like this, one being above and like that, so that would be a hemnik and it would be pasul. So for those two reasons, when I went to ask my friend who sells lulavim and esrogim, he gave me this lulav. Now we could pass it on. Okay. A hemnik is even worse than nechlika atiomis because it juts out. And that is, so right, then it's no longer, oh, so now we get to another issue. What exactly is the nature of a psul of Nechlik HaTiyomis? So the nature of the, or Hemnik for that matter. So those psulim are a mum. It's not considered the ideal, the pasha is not considered an ideal lulav. Okay. So two quick notes on Hadassim and Aravos, and then we're going to go to, of course, the Esrog. The halacha for an hadas is, actually, if I could send one of my children outside, we'll bring we have hadasim growing outside. But those hadasim are posel. The reason why those hadasim are posel is because they're not mishulosh. A hadas, one of the halachic definitions of a hadas is that you have three leaves that are coming out from the same spot. So the halacha for hadasim is that the hadasim need to have three leaves coming out from the same spot. So let's take a look at Simin. Tuf Reish Nun. Shir Hadas V'Arava. The shir of a Hadas and Arava, Tuf Reish Nun, Shlosha Tvachim. It's supposed to be three Tvachim. The Shedro Shalulav Arba Tvachim. So a Hadas, I'll take this, thank you. These are hadasim that grow here in Arsenu Akdosha, but of course the problem is that they don't have three growing from the same point. Hence we could only use them for besamim, but that's atze. So that's what the three, you need three of them growing out. Now, the lulav shedra, if you could pass the lulav back, the way in which the hadasim are supposed to sit with the lulav is the following. The lulav is supposed to be four tvachim, the mechaber writes, and the hadasim are supposed to be three tvachim. Now, you might see when you go to a store, people who measure out the length of the hadasim. So, mi'ikr d'dina, we'll give the exact moment in a second, the hadasim are supposed to sit on a lulav, that's, let's say, four tvachim, one, two, three, four. A lulav that's already, we'll give the exact numbers of what this is, this high, up until here, really is kosher, okay? We'll give those numbers in a second. They're more stringent and more lenient. Ideally, the hadasim are supposed to sit a tefach down below the shedra. So, the shedra over here goes up till about, remember we pointed out, it goes into the tiomes? It goes about up until here. So really, ideally, you should have your hadasim that are three tefachim, and a tefach worth of lulav of shedra, and then, of course, going up to the tiomes. Why? Because the length of the lulav is supposed to be four tefachim, and the hadasim and the aravos three tefachim. How much are these? So, of course, there's a famous machlokus between the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Noah. To this day, there are different opinions. And when you see them selling sheer hadasim, sheer Chazon Ish, what it means is 29 centimeters. Because the Chazon Ish's calculation of what qualifies as a tefach is 29 centimeters, which is 11.4 inches. Reb Chaim Noah, his shear of three tefachim is 9.45 inches, 24 centimeters. So lichatchila, many tried to be machmir for the shear Chazon Ish. So that would mean 11.4 inches. That's about our calculation, right? This is, just think of the ruler in school, right? A ruler would go approximately about up to here, right? So that would be the shear of the Chazon Ish. Now, not only is it supposed to be three tefachim high, but lechatchila, that entire shear is supposed to be meshulash. What does that mean? That means that lechatchila, you're supposed to have three hadasim coming out from one each spot in the hadas, which is not so easy to find. Often what will happen is the hadas will be beautiful, two tefachim in, then there'll be one hadas that's missing, and then you're going to have another tefach. That's all meshulash. That is not lechatchila. Now, bidiyavad, if the hadasim, hadas falls off, so then it's going to be, that's going to be kosher, but this is lechatchila, that is what's going to be necessary for for the Hadas. Another important thing to check for the Hadassim and the Aravos is the same psul called Niktam. Niktam, we saw by a lulav, is sometimes hard to see, to notice the Niktam on a lulav, and it's sometimes hard to notice as well as Hadassim. So you're supposed to check the top to make sure it's not Niktam. If it's Niktam, then it's Pasul. So that's something to look for to see in terms of the Hadassim and the Aravos. Finally, we're now, by the way, all now we're discussing is the first day. Hopefully we'll get to what the second day the second day we'll get to shortly. Finally, the Esrog. Let's take a look at some of the halachos in regards to an Esrog. This is Shlomo Zalman's Esrog. And I'll pass it around. I'll go through the halachos. This is what he brought home from school. And you tell me, he says he made a puzzle. You tell me if you could see how he says he made a puzzle. Dvarim apsulim be'esrog. There are a few things that make an esrog puzzle. Okay. The majority of things that make an esrog puzzle, aside from a dried out esrog, is going to be puzzle, but also different marks on the esrog will make it either not an esrog, or it'll make it a psul hadar. Remember we saw that the pasuk says pre-eitz hadar. So there's some things that make it that the esrog is no longer hadar. And then there are some types of psulim in which it's not that it's not considered hadar, but rather the esrog is not entirely complete. For example, the Mishnah describes that once upon a time somebody took a bite out of the esrog. So that is a esrog that is chaser. That's an esrog that's chaser. We'll discuss those might be two different types of psulim. Okay, so let's just talk about the area in which the Chazal say the eye catches, the eye notices. The eye notices the top third, Chazal say, of the esrog, which is called the chotem. That's the nose. There's a big discussion exactly where does the chotem begin. It probably begins the time in which the esrog slants down, or according to some opinions, it's the top third. The assumption being that when a person takes an esrog, the thing that they notice the most is the top third, or the area that's sloping down in the esrog. Therefore, if there is a psul of chaser, the esrog is going to be pasul. If there's a psul of shinui mare, that there's something that is discolored of the esrog, or the skin is extremely split, called nistak, in all of those instances, that can make an esrog pasul. There's a difference, though, between whether there's a discoloring on the top third or there's a discoloring on the rest of the esrog. Because the psul of discolor is a psul of hadar, so then discoloring is only going to be possible on the top third. If, however, you have three sets of psul of shinui mara on the entire area of the esrog, then you would mark it. I'm looking for a pen or a pencil. Anybody have a pen or pencil?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So let's say you've got a psul over here. It doesn't really discolor it. Okay. So let's say you have something that, we'll go with a pen. A pen will be helpful. So anything that's on the top third is going to be pasul. What happens if you have a shinui mara over here, a shinui mara over here, and a shinui mara over here? So then you would draw a line between these areas, and if it covers the majority of the esrog, then in such a case, then it will be pasul, which is a very close call over here. But if you have a shinui mara on top, then immediately, then that's going to create a psul right on top of the esrog. The psul chaser is, if you have the esrog, its pitum falls off. Then in such a case, that's a psul chaser. A psul chaser will also be, some are very concerned, even the tiniest black dots could also at sometimes be a psul chaser. So if you find a black dot on top, then that's a problem in terms of shinui mare, and then on the top third, that's a significant problem. But even if it's on the bottom, then that might be a psul of chaser. However, the Mishnah Brura im simin tof resh mem hei. has an arichus, excuse me, tafresh mem, just a second, in tafresh mem ches, I believe. Let me tell you the exact marimakom. Where does he discuss all the other days? No, so it's not tafresh mem ches. In simin tafresh mem tes, sif katan lamid hey, the Mishnah Berurah discusses that most of the things that we just discussed might only apply on the first day. So what happens if a person drops his esrog and the pitum, and he has a pitum, and the pitum falls off? So then in such a case, then on the first day, that's going to be pasul. However, all other days, it's going to be kosher. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say, a psul of shinui mare. So here there's a machlokis haposkim, whether the psul hadar is pasul only on the first day, or on other all 7 days as well. It could very well be that the psul hidur is going to be on all 7 days, and if that's so, so then in such a case, then a person has to be careful about a psul hadar on all 7 days. There are two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah as far as that's concerned. One more point, you might hear about people not being so into an esrog without a pitum. The tradition for many, many, many generations was that an esrog without a pitum, it all depends on whether the pitum fell off when it was growing or not. Rav Scheinberg, in a haskama to this sefer, which happens to be a fantastic sefer, Lekicha Tama. So Rav Scheinberg, in his haskama to the sefer, it was known that he was into no, that he felt that it's a psul chaser. Just like if, let's say, a bird came along and took a bite out of the esrog, it's going to make it possible. So he says so too. If the pitum falls off when it's growing, it's going to be possible. Most poskim said, no, that's a normal way for an esrog to grow. How many esrogim grow with a pitum? If there's a significant amount of esrogim that the pitum fall off, then in such a case, it's going to be kosher. The minig yisrog has been to be machshir, esrog without a pitum. Nevertheless, there are some who are machbid about that. I do not have a kabbalah from my rabbeim to be machmir on that. Some of my rabbeim did teach me something very beautiful, it's important, and that is the power of the Eitzahara. In the turn of the century, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael started coming, returning here to Eretz Yisrael in droves, thanks to partly because of anti-Semitism in Russia. And what happened was there wasn't enough esrogim, as well as probably travel was a lot better, and it was all of a sudden people realized that they could transport a lot of esrogim from Eretz Yisrael to Europe. So what they did was they did the following: they began, the esrogim merchants had a tremendous yetzahara to get a lot of esrogim out to make money, and what happened is in order to do that they started grafting. So the Chazon Ish came along, and the Chazon Ish did research. He did research into the yichus of a few esrogim. And he found out exactly who planted it, when it was planted, and so on. And he came to a decision that there were a few esrogim that weren't murkav, him and Maril Diskin as well. And there are some people that you might hear of esrog Chazon Ish. Esrog Chazon Ish is referring to the esrogim that the Chazon Ish was careful to plant in orchards, and therefore there wasn't any chash murkav. Okay, now, let's pass around this esrog, ignoring the drawing that I had put on there. Could anybody notice any other chashos of this? We'll start this time on this side, this time around. Yes?
What's with getting the green esrog or the yellow esrog?
Okay, so halachi, the Mishnah says, if something is green like a leek, the halachi is that it's possible. Hayaro kecharsi. But that means it has to be really, really, really green. If, however, it's a lighter green, then the poskim already say it's beginning to turn yellow, then that's not problematic.
Is it more mahudr to get green or yellow?
No, more mahudr would be yellow. But often I will take something that's greener because that was the nicer esrog that I was able to find. Yeah?
Are the laws of what's considered mahudr, is that like a Misora, or is that something that we made up?
That was a tradition that goes back already to the time of the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, the Psul of Shinui Mara. However, there are some subjective, for example, I could ask that we're back for a second, there are subjective Hidurim as well. There are some people that talk about, you know, that there's a nice Gidul, the nice way that it's grown, and no question that a subjective Hidur also has has a value. You know what I'm going to hold on to this for one more minute? This Esrog, anybody, what do you notice? You notice anything?
I mean, unless the pitum, I don't know if it was grown without a pitum.
Very good, okay. Yeah. Happens to be that this pitum fell off. Now, I always wondered how you were able to tell whether the pitum fell off or whether the pitum after it was picked or beforehand. Because according to most poskim, that, and again, by the way, your pitum falls off, on the other days it's going to be kosher. So the answer is, and I never, until I saw a few pitums fell off, then I saw it was really, really true. I always used to ask, there was a fellow I used to buy many, many years, my Dalminim, who taught me quite a few things, Rabbi Greenspan. So he said to me, if you take a look at the pitums that fall off when they grow, the pitum continues to grow. So you'll still have, right, it fell off, it was on the tree, and the pitum continues to grow. However, when it falls off, after it's off the tree, so then it's flat. And that's exactly what this pitum is. So this pitum is entirely flat. And so if you take a look, there's one more. Who else can notice? Aside, now it's a little bit confusing now that I drew. There is a black dot over here. There's a black dot, which it seems to me is not a case of a chaser, but it seems to me a psul of shinui mare, and it's on the top third. And that's why he got in school. This is a beautiful, beautiful estrog. He got in school. It must be, you know, if it didn't have this dot, then it would be going for $80, $90. But one dot could make all the difference for work.
Any type of dot on the top third is...
On the top third is...
No matter how big?
No, well, sometimes the dot will be a piece of dirt. Or the dot might be brownish and not black, and then posts can say that's not the same level of Shinui Mare. It's the black that's really the Psul Shinui Mare. Let's go to the back look, Gedalia.
You're saying that he caused it, though. That black dot was already there, no?
Right, so, black dot, even when it grew, is going to be a Psul Shinui Mare. It's not that, in other words, if it grows, a pitum, if it falls off, that's not going to be a problem. However, the Psul Chaser, any other Psul Chaser, since it's not normal for it to grow that way, so then a psul chaser would be possible, even if the chaser came when it was on the tree. Okay, I think, yeah?
Why are we concerned with the bottom third on the first day, if it's
the bottom
of the viewing? Yeah, and so start off with it backwards.
So we said that if you have the psul on the top, so then that's where the eye naturally gravitates toward.
Even on the first day,
because the eye is drawn towards the top, and therefore it's going to be possible.
Over before you make the bracha.
Yes. Ooh, since we're talking about how a person is supposed to make the bracha. By the way, of course, we did not discuss the details of buying lulav and esrog next year in Eretz Yisrael, which will have many shilas of shmita. There's some who are already machmir about certain shilas of shmita, but meikar d'dina, one does not have to worry this year. But next year, we'll primarily speak with your local Rav. Primarily, a person doesn't have to worry. But when it comes to next year, there will be many shilas that come up that need to be discussed in other shiurim. In terms of how you're supposed to take the lulav. So here, let's go back to the pasuk that we started with. The pasuk in Parashas Emor says, "Ulkach melchem b'yom harishon, pri eitz hadar, kapos tmarim, v'anaf eitz avos, v'arvei nachal." So it seems that there is an inyan to rejoice with the lulav and the esrog. And the Gemara tells us that one's supposed to say Hallel with the lulav and esrog on Sukkot. So the Brisker Rav was of the opinion that one should take the lulav and esrog right before Hallel and make the bracha immediately prior to Hallel. That's, in my family, we have the tradition, I come from Hasidim, that many used to have the custom to take lulav and esrog in the sukkah, al pi kabbalah. There's some beautiful inyanim to take it al pi kabbalah. To the point that I think there were some in my family that used to take the lulav and esrog in the sukkah even before shachris, and then go to shul and do it then. Is that sounds common to you? So the Brisker Rav was not into this. I still try to do it in the sukkah, but I tried to do it right before Hallel, because he argued that based on the way Chazal understand the psukim, the mitzvah is to take the lulav and sing halal. So therefore, we make the bracha of al netilas lulav, we shake the lulav, and then we say halal as well, so that there shouldn't be a hefsek between the two. Speaking of hefsek, everybody is aware that different people try to solve the problem of over lasiyasan. And that is, the problem is the following. The moment you pick up the lulav and esrog is the moment that you yotzei the mitzvah, and you're supposed to make the bracha beforehand. So here there are a few solutions. The most common solution, the one that the Ramah suggests, is one turns the lulav, the esrog, upside down. However, there are some who do something else. Reb Chaim, if I'm not mistaken, Reb Chaim of Brisk, used to leave the esrog on the table and only pick up the esrog afterwards. The question is whether turning it over is enough. There are some poskim who say that you're supposed to pick it up kederach gidulo, the way it grows, and if you turn it upside down, then that's going to be enough. And others say no. So for what Reb Chaim did is he would have the esrog already there, he would make the bracha of al netilas lulav, and then shake. Okay, so those are the basic halachos. Now, somebody asked me, what is the significance of mitzvahs lulav? Why is it that Chazal made such a big deal about the details and so on and so forth? So I think there's something that's very, very powerful and something extremely, extremely beautiful about Sukkot that's embodied by the Dalet Minim. And with this we conclude. The Dalet Minim, al pi Kabbalah, al pi Chassidus, represent different parts. For example, according to some, the Shedra represents the spine, and the Aravos represent the mouth, the Hadassim, the eyes, the Esrog, the heart. That's one explanation. Some point out also that each one of them has very different features. The Hadassim are both edible in terms of that they're, and as well as has a fruit that grows on it, as well as has a beautiful smell. What the Dalet Minim represent is a beautiful Yesod of post-Yom Kippur. And that is, we spoke about this the first Shabbos together, that Yom HaKippurim is all about the idea of raising ourselves up to be malachim, like we're angels. The Dalet Minim encompass all parts of the material world. And the idea of Sukkot, and you think about that's what the Sukkah that we were in getting ready before, that the Sukkah is all about, and for this I thank everybody for all the help in building the Sukkah. Thank you very, 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 very much. The Sukkah is all about the idea of a person being in the physical world, being physical, eating and sleeping and so on, b'toch kanfei ha'shechina. And the idea of the Dalet Minim al pi Kabbalah is about taking different parts of the materialistic world and joining them together in Avodas Hashem. That's what it's all about. And that's what the Avodah of Sukkot is all about. And that's why each one of them have similar halachos and sometimes different halachos. Because it's all about taking these different parts and joining them together in Avodas Hashem. So Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zoche to take these very, very materialistic things and use them in our Avodas Hashem and come closer to Kutcha B'richo. Should be a chag kosher v'sameach.